Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 172, stanzas 1 through 4. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee. There we will pay our vow. O thou, the God that hearest prayer, before thee all shall bow. 1 through 4 of 172.
read from the book of the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 3, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Jeremiah 3. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lying with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister, Judah, saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the likeness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given her for, that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant us a little of the spirit of prayer and supplications, that we might know how to order our words before thee. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. But thou who dost give that spirit of prayer in the heart of thy people, oh, give it to each and every one of us in these moments as we attempt to open our unclean lips before thee, the holy and the righteous God. Because the world does rush every day to its final end, and we also with the world, every day rushing on with all the things of this life. But thou in thy great goodness dost give unto us a Sabbath day when we may stop for a day, when we may stop for a moment from all the labors of our hands in the midst of this world, from all the thoughts and all the concerns that have to do with this world, and when we may think upon thee and our own origin and our own end, where we have come from and where we are going. But Lord, thou knowest that we have so little thought thereof. Also upon thy holy day, because our minds are so taken up with all that is in this world, that we need to be separated for a moment by thy own Holy Spirit. For thou dost dwell in that city that has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God, of the Almighty God, does light in it. And also the Lamb is the light thereof. Oh, could it be that that Lamb may also be our light, that it may be light for thy people, here also in this world, in this thy holy day. For, O Lord, it was light in the day that thou didst come into this world. Then the angels did appear in the skies in great brightness and in glory. And it will be light when thou wilt come in our soul, and when thou wilt enlighten our darkness, and when thou may give a wretched and a poor sinner, who does not see anything but darkness, and who does not know the way, who cannot deliver himself from himself. Oh, then when there is a little light, a little ray of thy dear and only begotten Son, oh, what is there to be seen in thee, O Lord, for a needy sinner here in this world? Oh, then there is such a treasure to be beheld. Then there is a great glory to be seen. And then there is a way to be seen, a way opened, even by God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, for those who have turned away from thee, for those who have departed from thy paths and from all thy commandments, from those whose heart that is filled with iniquity, who cannot but transgress, and who miss the mark, for the harlots, for the unfaithful. O Lord, then we need thee, because we cannot do anything from our own side. And thou dost command us to seek it at thy footstool. Oh, thou dost say, only acknowledge thine iniquities, that thou hast transgressed against me. And Lord, then also for this we are so helpless, because we do not see them aright, because we do not know our own selves. Oh, that thou may give us such a sight by which we may abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee, and that we might see our great need of a Savior, of a Deliverer for our own poor soul. Oh, that we might cry out while that it is still a day of grace, a time of salvation. Oh, that we might see that it is thee whom the Father hath sent into the world, and that thou mayst take away all iniquity. Oh, remember us both young and old, Lord. This life does take up all our heart, all our thoughts, all our minds, all of our time, all of our strength, except that thou wouldst stop us upon our mad career, except that thou wouldst say, thus far and no further, except that thou wouldst bring us like a Manasseh in the prison, where we are not reigning anymore in our wickedness, but to know that the Lord is God, and dare to bow our knees before thee and supplicate unto thee that we may be restored again into thy blessed favor. Oh, do make us as that prodigal, Lord, who far away from his father's house and did think upon him in his misery, in his wretchedness, and did think upon thee in thy grace and in thy mercy, so that he did say, I will arise and I will go unto my father, and I will say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Make me as one of thy hired servants, no longer worthy to be a son. Lord, show it unto us. Oh, open unto us these most blessed lessons that we need to learn between the cradle and the grave, And shall it be well with us upon our journey to meet thee? Oh, our eyes need to be opened, Lord. Our hearts need to be opened as the heart of Lydia. Oh, it is thy holy day, and thy word is to go forth as thou dost command, and it will be so as thou dost give it. Oh, may be also with great power. Oh, that power of that still small voice, and that may speak as we are sitting, as we are listening, as we are hearing with our ears. Oh, that we might hear once with our heart this day. Remember all the needs and the cares of this life. For thou art the God of providence also. Care for the child, all that have received surgeries. Thou knowest all the needs and the cares. Wilt thou supply and wilt thou heal as thou alone art able? And wilt thou give prayer and supplication to the great physician for the need of souls? Do look upon all our young people and our children. Oh, well, when the theological school will be opened again in this week, and when thou hast given a student to begin, oh, that thou may give among us the continual cry and a prayer for him, because it is not an easy way to begin studying at such an age anymore. But Lord, when thou hast called a man, then thou art so free to do it in any age. Oh, thou wilt also help him and be on his right and on his left, make it easy for him. Help the instructors also be on their right and on their left. And wilt thou give when one is not able to be amongst us in this week to begin, that he may receive also the necessary papers in due time, that he may be able to go back and forth once again? Oh, wilt thou supply then for the denomination wherein we are? And oh, that thou may give a heartfelt need and a cry and a love in the hearts of both young and old, for the denomination wherein we may dwell, even amidst all of our shortcomings. For blessed is the man whom thou callest, and in love causest to approach unto thee, and that he might dwell in thy tabernacles. Oh, that it may be the desire also of our children and our youth, as so to dwell in thy house here below. And one day is thy servant it right, and that he should dwell with thee forevermore. Oh, Lord, that it may be for us an end to seek, and that we may be reunited with our Maker, and may it be also our Redeemer, our Deliverer, forever to sing his praise, oh, forever to sink away under thy great goodness to such as we are. Care thou for our teachers and our school. Wilt thou give yet a little rest? And soon they are to begin also once again. And when preparations are being made, wilt thou give wisdom? Wilt thou give strength? Wilt thou give diligence? Wilt thou give courage to go forward? And wilt thou give an eye to see why? And why that they are there, Why that they do give as instructors so many sacrifices, that they might give themselves to the work with a heart that is full of love, and that is love for thee, and that is love for the souls of our children. Lord, that thou mayst so remember us, help parents, because it is their task in the first place, or that they might not leave it all over to the school and to the church, but that thou mayst give a taking heed to thy commandments. Remember us also, when soon we hope to begin confession class. Could it please thee to give young people who have a desire to join themselves unto the outward administration of thy church, and with that holy desire within their heart, that they might be united by a true and saving faith even unto thee, that they may make use of the means that thou hast given, and that we may be gladdened with thy deeds. Care for the widows, care for all that are afflicted and sick. Remember those that suffer addictions and all those that have turned away from thy truth. O Lord, bring again in thy mercy. Care for us as a consistory. O give to us strength, give to us wisdom in all the labors of thy hands and thy blessing upon our work. Care for all that travel in these days. Give traveling mercies. Bring safely home once again. Oh, care for us in this hour, Lord. Be thou in the midst of us undeservedly. For the sake of thy great and holy name. And may it be to add unto thy kingdom, and to fulfill the promise that thou hast given unto thy only begotten Son, that he should have a people that should serve him. Oh, may they be born this day. May they be instructed this day more and more in that which is to thy glory and to the salvation of our souls. Forgive and take away and keep us from all iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 110, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. We announce that the Confession of Faith classes hope to begin on Tuesday, September 10. If there are any more that would like to join themselves to the class, please let me know as soon as possible so that materials can be prepared. Psalter 110, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation, Ezekiel prophesied unto the children of Israel in their captivity. And the Lord showed unto him the sin of his people in a vision, as the elders of Judah sat before him, we read. And there the Lord brought him in the spirit unto Jerusalem. And there the Lord showed him all the things that they did there in that vision in Jerusalem, that was the sins of his own people. And the Lord called them abominations. That is actually something we would say that is disgusting unto us. It is to him. Are there things also that are abominable unto us? Is sin also abominable unto us? And then the Lord did not only call them abominations, but he called them great abominations. Thus, it is a word of magnifying the greatness of the disgust that is in the very nature of God for those sins. And after he had shown these things unto Ezekiel, and then the Lord said to him, seest now all the things that they do? He says, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought him to a door in the court, and there was a hole, we read, in the wall. And he was instructed to dig in that hole. And when he dug in that hole, there was a door. And when he went into that door, and then we read that he saw all forms of creeping things, we read, and abominable beasts. They were abominations, we read, that were done in the dark. Every man in the chambers of his imagery. What is that? That is in secret. Things that are done in the dark, because they said the Lord does not see and the Lord has forsaken the earth. Then what do we read? We read, he said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. Thus the Lord was not finished. You know such a life. When the Lord opens unto you the abominations that are done in your heart, in secret, in all of the imaginations of your heart, in the secret places of your heart, the Lord was not finished even after that second time. And the Lord says it to him a third time. He says, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. Thus the Lord is showing a man more and more what is living, not just the outward deeds, but what is living in the dark, in the secret places that are in our heart. So that a man begins to see things that he has never seen before in his whole life. Is that the same with every one of God's children? No. It does not go to the same extent with everyone. Why not? It is not necessary. Because the Lord has an end. The Lord has a purpose. And the Lord will reach his own purpose sooner with one than he does with the other. And what is that purpose? Well, the Lord will have us to loathe. To loathe ourselves in his most holy sight. The Lord will have us to despair of ourselves. The Lord will cut us off from ourselves. Why? Well, that is the only way that a man by a true faith will begin to look outside of himself, that he may behold the only begotten Son of God. The words of our text are from the same chapter as last week, Jeremiah 3, this time from the last part of verse 17. Jeremiah 3, verse 17, the last part. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. So far, the words of our text. The promise of the restoration of an evil heart. First, the evil heart. We read the imagination of their evil heart. Second, the promise of its restoration. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. The promise of the restoration of an evil heart. First, the evil heart. And second, the promise of its restoration. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. So the Lord invited his whorish people back unto himself. They did not deserve it, not in the least. But the Lord does that for them anyway. That is, congregation, what the grace of God is. The grace of God is that which is far exceeding that which is reasonable, that which is, we would say, rational to us. That is, the grace of God is full of mercy. The grace of God is full of compassion. The grace of God is full of long suffering. How tender is the heart of God. And that is not like any heart of a human being here upon this world. That is what makes the exercise of faith so difficult for that spiritual harlot, that she needs to be drawn, that she needs to be invited, that she needs to be encouraged, that she may draw nigh unto him. Does that mean that God is not just? Oh no. Doesn't mean that. Certainly that is the thing. That is the very realization that is keeping her so long, so far away, that she does not dare to approach, and that she is hesitating even under all of the invitations by which he is inviting her. Without Christ, there is no approaching unto God. Do we ever experience that? But in him, oh, it is harlots that are invited. A congregation, it needs to be revealed. It needs to be shown unto them. They need to be given light into this invitation. Grace is an incomprehensible thing, not to the generality of mankind. It is not incomprehensible for the natural thinking of a man, but to the undeserving themselves. Oh, for they themselves, that is so incomprehensible, then they become like Mephibosheth. He says, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" The Lord called his people to return, and he declared unto his people that he was willing to receive them again when they would come in the way of acknowledging their iniquities, their transgressions. And so the Lord draws them by way of a promise. He says, "I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you unto Zion. I will turn again your captivity. I will increase you." He says, "I will multiply you." The house of Israel and the house of Judah, they are again going to walk together. He says they are going to come out of the north unto the inheritance of their fathers. They're going to be joined again into one people. And so it came to pass. But that was not the end of Jeremiah's prophecy, because that prophecy, as many prophecies, have not only one fulfillment, but it had multiple fulfillments. So we read in the first place about their return into that land of Canaan. But now Jeremiah, by the Spirit of the Lord, is looking further to speak unto his people what is going to take place in the time of the New Testament. That the Lord is going to restore his own people, that he is going to restore his own church. And then the ceremonial laws, he says, will all come to an end, and they shall say no more, "The ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it anymore, they shall not visit it anymore, neither shall that be done anymore." That is all going to come to an end. So we have that already in the Old Testament prophecies. The house of Israel, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it. So we read about the calling of the Gentiles in that New Testament church, and when they're going to be gathered in. And then those Gentiles are going to return just like Israel and Judah. They have come together. And now, in that second fulfillment, we might say, and then also the Gentiles and the Jewish people, they are also going to be joined together. They are going to come together and be gathered into one Christian church. And so we come to our text. "Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart." That is what the Lord calls their hearts, that is ra, that is evil or bad or wicked. That is another Hebrew word for sin or for sinfulness. Not all evil is sin, because we speak about evil also as the consequences of sin. Like sickness, we say they are evils, or accidents are evils. But all sin is certainly evil. And now there are several Hebrew Greek words that are very close in their meaning, so we're not going to go through every one of them separately. But this ra, this evil, speaks about something that is contrary to the nature of God. That is, it is bad. And the nature of God is what, boys and girls? The nature of God is good. So those two things are contrary to one another. That is, contrary to God's very nature. Say, what does that mean? Well, what might be contrary to our nature? What is our nature like? What is something that belongs to our nature? There is something that belongs very closely to our nature, and that is the desire for self-preservation. That is, that we will defend ourselves, our own life. That is in our nature. That is how we are created. So if you will say to someone, I'm going to hit you, and you say you are to keep your arms down, you're not to defend yourself, say that is impossible, because he can decide that he will do that. But as soon as you begin to hit him, then he will immediately put up his arm. Why is that? Because it is something that lies within our own nature. It is something then that is spontaneous. That is something that is automatic, very natural. That was natural to the Lord Jesus also, because he had a true human nature. That is why his nature did recoil from the sufferings that he knew were coming. Ra, evil, bad, that is contrary to God's very nature, a nature that is only good. Thus, those two things can never be reconciled to one another. That is good and bad. Because they are of themselves contrary to one another. We heard a little about the word abomination, and that abomination is similar in its meaning. A very strong word that is meaning disgusting. And what is disgusting? That is something that is repulsive to us. That is something that our very nature is recoiling against. It is for us an abomination. That is the reason that the Lord said to Ezekiel, he said, seest thou these things that they do, even the great abominations, he says, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? Thus he says, it is abominable to me. That is something I cannot dwell with. Then I am forced to go away from my own sanctuary because my holy nature is not able to dwell with sin. That is like for us, maybe, boys and girls, if we would speak a little about the frogs that were in Egypt, the plague of the frogs. You remember that? And what did the Lord say? Those frogs, oh, they were going to come up, and they did come up. They came up in the houses, not just one. If you would have one frog in the house, your mother would say, get that out of the house. And now there were a multitude of frogs, and they came up into their houses, and they came up, we read, in the bedchambers, and not only in the bedchambers, but they came even into their beds. Oh, can you imagine that? When you had frogs everywhere, when you had frogs even in your bed, they came into their kneading troughs, they came into their ovens. It was for the Egyptians an abominable thing. It was something that was disgusting to them. It was grotesque to them because they could not live like the frogs live in the muddy waters, the banks of the river. And now that is how the Lord is describing the heart of his people. He says it is an evil heart. And what is the heart? Well, that means in this case, that inner being. It means the soul. It means the whole being. That means their mind and their will and their affections, their thoughts and their desires and the choices of their will, their whole entire being. Their evil heart. Not just one action. Not just one thought, a single thought. But he says their evil heart, their very being itself, their very nature is evil. It is bad. It is contrary to me. Oh, congregation, how little we know ourselves. How little we realize the holy and the righteous character of God. And how that the Lord sees his own creation, that is mankind, after that he has fallen away from him, that we have made ourselves a stench in the holy nostrils of God, their evil heart. But that is not all. Because the Lord does not speak here just about their evil heart. He speaks about the imagination of their evil heart. What is that? The word imagination, that is not, children, what we normally think of the word imagination. You must look in the margin, and then you will see the word stubborn. Or stubbornness. And that is now that word imagination. Stubborn. Are you stubborn? What does that mean to be stubborn? Well, that means that a person is obstinate. You cannot change his mind with reason. And you can say and do whatever that you want. That person continues to go in that same thought. He is not changeable. Well, you say sometimes unchangeableness is good. God, he is unchangeable. That is true. And it is very important that we are very firm in the truth. But this word that is used only 10 times in the Bible. And it is used every single time in the Bible for the obstinacy of the lusts and the evil desires that are living in the heart of a man. Thus, that word is going to the very foundations, we would say the immovable foundations. That is, the very nature of man has been corrupted by the fall. So that is not true. As others do say, that it is something that just can be changed, that can be restored by a man. No, the Lord, he speaks here about bad. Bad. It is a bad heart. It is an evil heart. It is a heart that is opposed. That is opposed unto me. It is unchangeable in that. It is stubbornly bad, the imagination of their evil heart. You would say, well, that must now be the blind and the uneducated people that are living in the jungles, right? They are uncultivated. Is that right? No, that is not right. Because the Lord does not speak about those heathen that are in the jungles and uneducated and uncultivated. But he speaks about his own people. He speaks about the children of Abraham and the children of Isaac and the children of Jacob, to whom belong the law, to whom belong the covenants. And when he speaks about those people, then he speaks about the imagination of their evil heart, incurably bad, stubbornly wicked, contrary to the nature of God, unbearably evil. Or you say, Jeremiah, that is strong language. You should not maybe use such strong language. Is that Jeremiah's language? Or did the Lord say to Jeremiah, I have put my words in thy mouth? No, congregation, language is always too short. You ever go, maybe, children, you go on a little vacation, go to the mountains, now you see beauty. You ever tried to tell someone about it with your words? Can you do that? What do you feel when you speak about it? You try to describe the beauty that you have seen. I cannot do it. Why not? Because words, well, they cannot actually give to you to know what I have seen with my eyes. You ever smell something? 40 years ago, we came here into a barn that had pigs in it. And I certainly had never smelled that before in my life. And I could not stay in that barn. Not very long. How shall I describe that? Oh, you say words are too short to describe the things that we may see, that we may feel, that we may taste, that we may touch, that we may handle. That is now the experience of that true church. And the Lord is saying to them over and over again, turn thee yet again, and I will show thee, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. Oh, then they are receiving a little insight, more and more, into what is living in their hearts. And that is now not something that they are able to describe with words unto their loved ones. Let us sing Psalter 41, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. The fear of God is undefiled and ever shall endure. The statutes of the Lord are truth and righteousness most pure. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 41. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Who says that? Jeremiah. No, the Lord says that. That is part of his promise. He says, only acknowledge thine iniquities. He says, turn, O backsliding children. And then the Lord gives an inducement, a promise. He will give something that will draw them that they may turn. Maybe, children, you have received one time a promise from your father or your mother. They say, if you will do this, then you shall receive that. And now, that promise, whatever that they say you will receive, that has to be something, well, has to be something that you want, right? They have to promise you something that you desire. Otherwise, that promise will not do any good. And what does the Lord now promise here? He says, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. That is not here a command. You shall not walk after the imagination of your evil heart. No, no. But they shall not walk. That it is part of the promise of the Lord, what he was going to do for them. Is it precious to you? Is that desirable to you? The promise? Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Or is that something that draws you? That you may indeed confess your iniquity before him, maybe you say, it seems more suitable to be a command rather than a promise. Do you all say that? Or are there some of you that say, oh, it is such a wonder that that is now the promise of the Lord? Because congregation, in the beginning of that new life, then a man is very glad with all the commandments of the Lord. He's glad with them and he is ready. You glad with them sometimes, children, young people? All the law of the Lord. And you say, oh, I love that law. And I am going to do that law. I'm going to walk according to that law. Oh, then they are so glad with the commandments of the Lord. What the Lord says that they have to do. The congregation, it does not stay that way if it is the true work. It stays that way with the hypocritical work. But it does not stay that way by the instruction of the Spirit of the Lord. Why not? Because the church comes to an end. It comes to an end with all the commands of the Lord. That law of the Lord. Because over and over again, then the Lord is saying to the people, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than thee. What do they have to learn? They have to learn that they have an evil heart. that they have a bad heart, that they have a stubbornly bad heart, that they have an unchangeably evil heart, and that they cannot do anything with all the requirements of the Lord. What do they need? They need, congregation, the promise of the Lord. They need that it will come, not from their own side, but they need that it will come, everything, from the side of the Lord. Oh, young people, let us stop here for just a moment. Let us stop here for just a moment. Because there are always people, I've heard that my whole life, there are always people, they want to hear more about the responsibility of man for the salvation of the soul. And they want to hear less of the sovereignty of God. They say that to hear of that sovereignty of God, that is something that leaves a man without hope. Why do they say that? For one reason. Because they have never lost that hope in themselves. They have never been cut off from their own ability. And so they continue to want to hear what man has to perform. And it is making them despondent to hear that it has to come from the side of the Lord. Let me ask you a question for a moment. A blind man, a lame man, a deaf man, a dumb man, a poor man. What does he want to hear? What he has to do? That he has to look, that he has to walk, that he has to listen, or he says, I cannot hear, I cannot see, I'm lame, I cannot walk. Or he finds no hope in the preaching of the duty of man. Must be preached, our duty. But there is no hope in it. Where is now his hope? His hope is all from another side. That is now, congregation, the whole Bible. The whole Bible, from beginning to the end. That is the whole gospel. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Did you ever become poor? Because if we become poor, truly poor, oh, then the Lord will reveal unto us what the gospel is. And that is to the joy and to the rejoicing of a man that is not able to help himself. Neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their evil heart. Do you know how precious that promise is unto that people? Do you know what the Lord says? He says, is there something I can do for you? Something I can do for you? With my great power that you are not able to do for yourself. And what do they say? Oh, then they smite their breast. And they say, Lord, this Take this out. This evil heart, this bad heart that is so incurable. Oh, I have tried so many times and I am not able to change this bad heart that is so contrary to thee. Oh, wilt thou take it out of me and wilt thou give to me a heart of flesh? Do you see how precious then is that promise of the Lord? Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Oh, they say, who can imagine what that now shall be when there is nothing contrary in me anymore? Oh, when there is an affection that is pure, that is holy, that is only spiritual, that is not cleaving anymore to everything that is sinful, to everything that is vain, to everything that is carnal. Oh, when my mind may be directed unto those things that are above. Oh, that my mind may be enlightened in the things of God, that I may be given an understanding who I am, who He is. Oh, a little entrance into the blessed mysteries of the blessed Trinity of God. Oh, that my will, oh, that it may be taken in that hand of the Lord. Oh, that my choice, my daily choice, may be a good choice. That all the motives that live within me may only be pure, that may only be holy, and that my whole being may be transformed, that I may be truly a child of God. Guard thou my thoughts, I thee implore, and of my lips keep thou the door, nor leave my sinful heart to stray where evil footsteps lead the way. Oh, then I will have the desire of my heart, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Jeremiah prophesies about the future, the return from the captivity, and then further into that New Testament time when the Gentiles shall be brought in, that true church shall be brought in by conversion, true conversion to God. And then that promise of God, that is a promise of a restoration of a people that are not able to restore themselves. The natural man has no desire for it. He does not sorrow, does not mourn over a bad heart, over an evil heart. What is that promise to him? That the Lord would change him and make him different, than he has no desire to be different. He does not feel anything of an impotence to be different because he does not even attempt to change himself. But now for the true church. Oh, what is it? The promise of God that is now the foundation. It is the foundation of his hope. Of his hope for change. Because there is no other hope. He has experienced that through all the labors of his heart. But now the Lord says, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. When does the Lord fulfill that for his people? Where does that begin? That begins in regeneration. That is when that heart is changed. New desires, they begin to fill their soul. Oh, their mind is enlightened to see what is the right way. And that choice to choose that good way. And then the complaining starts. Say, the complaining, what is that about? all the complaining begins. Because the instruction begins. And all the attempts, then the Lord is instructing what that evil heart is. And more, the Lord is instructing how stubbornly evil, how stubbornly, unchangeably bad that heart is. They are the leadings of the Spirit of the Lord in this life. Do we know a little of those leadings? And then sometimes, oh, the Lord is opening to that people that beauty in His only begotten Son. All when they may see how that the Lord can put them among the children. All when they can see something of the foundation, of the basis. How that the Lord can change that heart. They see something of the power of that triune God. And be given a little opening that they may see something of the purity of the heart of the Son. Oh, the Son of God Himself, that it was without mixture. The purity of His soul and the unity with His Father and with the Holy Spirit. And then in that incarnate man, perfect. A good heart in a man, in the man, in the God-man. Oh, and then, what does John say? He says, when he appears, he says, then we shall be like him. That is the promise. Make your heart burn. Where are you? That your heart is burning a little. Burning a little. They say, could I only be free of this wicked heart, of this bad heart that is contrary to the nature of God. Oh, there is coming another fulfillment for that people. There's going to be the final fulfillment for that people. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. How many times does that church not turn again and see greater abominations the longer that they live? More and more instructed. Coming lower and lower onto the ground. And every time they look, then the abominations, they seem to be greater. And then it seems that it is ever firmer, like it is a heart that is so incurable. And now if they may see once, or if the Lord shows them just once a little of His Son, and they may see what it is for sin to be covered, that it is covered, or when they may receive a little entrance into the mysteries of His grace, then they can look this way and that way, and they cannot find it anymore. They cannot find it anymore. Does that mean it will not come back? Or comes back in their life, that they have to see it again? But the Lord says that the time is coming, that it is not going to come back again. And when this body of sin is going to be laid down and buried in the earth, then will come that day that that old nature is done away, and it will be for everyone the same. Listen, children, the same as the desire that was born in the new birth. The desire that was born in the new birth is going to be fulfilled in the day that that old man is dead. When the body of sin is laid away, and then they're going to receive what they have longed for through all the wilderness journey of this life. What the Lord promises, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give us desire, longing? O take away the bad heart and give us a new heart of flesh. Show to us what we are. Oh, give us to hope in thee, and thy only, thy dear, thy beloved Son, who had a good heart, or who has finished all the work thou gavest him to do, and that it also may be the work of thy Spirit to restore those evil hearts again. Oh, remember us, Lord. It all must come from thee. Give us all a place on our knees to acknowledge our iniquity and to beseech from thee what we cannot do. Grant us true saving faith. Forgive all our sins. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Be with us in this week, and also in the weeks to come. Also, when we hope to travel, and wilt thou bring us safely together again with our flock after a few weeks. Help thy servant who hopes to be here in our place, and the elders in the reading. Oh, give thy blessing here and where we may be, and bring us all safely together again. We ask it in the forgiveness of our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 448 stanzas 3 and 4. He spoke that he would strength command and grant to us when foemen near, that we, delivered from their hand, might worship him without a fear. 3 and 4 of Psalter 448.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.